Well, friends, let us turn in the Word of God to Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, and verse 25, we'll commence our reading. Some of you might see this on my hand, and just to save myself from repeating myself, it had nothing to do with me thumping the pulpit on the Lord's Day or any domestic issue. It was me just trying to get to the chapel quickly on the Lord's Day evening, and I ran upstairs. And I fell, and I put my hand out, and it's supposed to have broken. I was in the A&E on Monday morning, and they said I've broken something. They might put something else on it tomorrow morning, but we'll see. So I thought I'll take that out of the way, because I've had to repeat myself quite a few times. So no one, when I've said to them, it was through me thumping the pulpit, nobody believed me. But Martin Luther did break a number of pulpits from my readings because of his thumping of the pulpit. But he was a different temperament, or they had weak pulpits those days. So, well, anyhow, we'll now turn to the Word of God from Judges chapter 24. Chapter 6, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, that is to Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. For if he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered on after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. Amen. We'll end the reading there and trust that the Lord will bless his own word to each one of us. We come once again to this portion of God's word. In the life of Gideon, we have seen that how God is in the process of training Gideon to be the next deliverer of Israel. And we have seen ourselves, something of ourselves in Gideon, that God is in process of training us as well. He's working upon us. Day by day, the challenges that you face, the things that you and I experience that may be at times painful. Maybe we might be in a state of concern or confusion, or we have many questions and unanswered questions. We have fears within. And all of these things are part of God's plan. He's working upon us. And as part of his training, God commanded Gideon to destroy an altar to Baal and to build an altar to Jehovah in his place. So this was the first thing that the Lord asked him to do. What a fearful thing. What a serious thing. His life was on the line. As we also read that the people came out and they wanted to kill him. Gideon passed that test as he obeyed the Lord. The people in his village were not pleased with Gideon's actions. And they wanted to kill him for what he had done. Gideon's father steps in and he defends his own son's action. And he uses those words and the questions that he asks. And he says, how will you defend this altar of this idol of Baal, who cannot even defend himself, who cannot raise himself up? Are you going to plead for him? Why doesn't he save himself? And from this, it appears that Gideon's father was challenged by his own son's courage. What a testimony that is, to be a blessing to those around us. By our faithfulness, others are challenged as well, and they're encouraged to go forward if they have been drifting, maybe. And he's convicted by his own compromise. And he thinks, why was I tricked into this? Why did I give into this? After that very public test came a time of private testing. We saw that. And that second test was not instigated by God, but by Gideon himself. He had demonstrated his great bravery in his public testing, but he shows a clear lack of faith in this time of private testing. Someone has said that who you are in private is who you really are. Who you are in private is who you really are. And there is truth to that statement. Sometimes it is easier to put on a public face and to appear to be one person when we are someone totally different in private. It's the same goes with prayer, private prayer, and then public prayer. There have been times when that has been true in our life, I'm sure. All of us are very similar to each other. And we have at times thought to ourselves, well, if people really knew what was going on in my heart and my life, they may not have spoken to me like this. And in this passage, we see that it is true of Gideon's life as well. When Gideon destroyed that altar to Baal, it was a step of great faith. And even though Gideon didn't want, or did want, did do what the Lord asked him to do, he did it at night. Because we read, he feared his own family, he feared the members of his village as well. That's what we read in verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, so he had people with him, he wasn't doing it alone, but still he was filled with fear, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. But he still did it. He still did it. He still did what the Lord told him to do. And in this passage, removed from public eye, we will see that Gideon is still not as strong as one would think he would be. He shows some level of fear. He still is unsure. His family and those living in his village have witnessed his courage in public. But the following verses, to the end of the chapter, we will look into this in the coming weeks, God willing, we see that there is a still weakness there. But in the text before us this evening, we see the courage of this man. We see that even though he's very much like us, filled with all kinds of emotions, he shows his courage as well. When he's challenged, we see he also brings encouragement and challenges the Lord's people to follow him into battle. And then, so that is a public thing. And then later on, from verse 36 onwards, you see the private testing that the Lord does. Now, there's a public challenge, there's a private challenge. And I trust we see something of ourselves in Gideon in this portion. So let us watch Gideon as he shows faith as well as fear. And let us observe a number of things this evening. And I want to look at verses 33 and 34. We read, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." Now here we see something of the faith of Gideon. As this scene opens, we see a young Gideon energized and excited from his recent victory, calling Israel to prepare for war. This is the Gideon the Lord saw when he first commissioned Gideon for the task of delivering God's people. We read in the previous verses, in verse 12, we read, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." The Lord was seeing what he will become. And so, let us see how he performs. Let us see, in this passage, we are told of his enemies, Gideon's enemies. Again, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel." Think about the time that these enemies attacked. It was harvest time. In verse 11, we see that Gideon, it is in that season of harvest. The crops are being gathered in. The wheat is threshed. For the past 7 years, the Midianites and their allies have used Israel as their own private, as it were, breadbasket, as a place to go and to ransack the place. They would come in and they would take the harvest for themselves, leaving the people of Israel destitute and broken. That is something we are told in the early verses of chapter 6, for example, verse 3, "And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass." So that is something that we see there. And so this is what's taking place in this verse. The invaders were significant in number. They had not come for Gideon. They had come to ransack the place. And there are a large group of people. In the next chapter, in chapter 7 and verse 12, it gives us an idea of the size of the vast army. We are told there, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And also in verse 10 of chapter 8, we read this. Now, Ziba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the host of the children of the east, for they fell, and 120,000 men that drew sword. So there they are, 135,000 men. That's about the number that Gideon faced. We are told that the enemies of Israel made their camp in the valley of Jezreel. This valley was the largest and the most fertile valley in all of Israel. Many of the crops that sustained the nation were produced there. That's why they were there, to take of the crop. So having the enemy invade and take the harvest from that area would have been a serious blow to the food supplies of the nation. They would go hungry. They would be starving. They would not have the necessary food to carry on through the rest of the year. And think about it, the Valley of Jezreel, as a side note, it's also known as the Valley of Megiddo. Many of great battles have been fought in that piece of ground. So here, how he finds himself. Gideon faces all these people. They are not there necessarily to attack Gideon. They are there to take of the crop. So another thing that now we see in verse 34 is that Gideon calls others to stand for God. He blew a trumpet, we read. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So when the enemy comes, Gideon has the courage to do what no man has done in over 7 years. Nobody else had taken his stand. You see, we might point a finger at Gideon, and we might point his mistakes and his fears and all of these things, but at the end of the day, he did something that nobody else did. And friends, all of us have our weaknesses. All of us have things that we wish we were different, and we seek the Lord's grace, and we pray about it, and we want to be glorifying God on every level. But there are things the Lord calls you to do, specifically. And he wants you to stand. You might not think others are standing. And you might think, well, others are not doing that. Those others are not involved with this or that and the other. But Gideon didn't think that way. He stood and he obeyed the call of God. And he saw the need. And you might see the need in certain things that others are blinded to. They don't see it or they don't feel they could do it. But if the Lord has placed it on your heart, and if you're convicted about it, then you ought to obey the Lord. And that is what Gideon did. 7 years had passed. It got into a routine. This is the thing they would be expecting next year too, and the year after too. They'd got themselves into a rut. There was no vision, it seems. No vision to stand for the things of God. No vision to protect the people of God. But Gideon is blessed by God. Gideon is raised by the Lord. Pray, Lord, make me to be different. Make me to stand. Make me, Lord, to be of use to you. So from that period of time, the war trumpets of Israel had been silent for 7 years. No one in the land had possessed the courage to pick up that trumpet and call the people to war against the enemies. And so here it is that Gideon appears to be ready for the task that he has been assigned. And so he places his hand to the trumpet. He, as the trumpeters would do, licks his lips and he blows the trumpet and calls Israel to battle. That's the first thing he does. He calls others
come and join with us. And he encourages. That's one of the things we could do, couldn't we? We could encourage others. You could say, come and join with us. Come and pray together. Come and do this thing for the Lord. That's part of the task. Not just doing something by yourself, but calling and encouraging others to also join with you. And one of the greatest reasons and the chiefest reasons for Gideon to have such a heart is this, which we read at the beginning of the verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So do you see, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The word for came upon literally is the word to be clothed upon. The Spirit of the Lord covered him. He was under the Spirit's control. It was God's special anointing and blessing. And then it was that he blew a trumpet. And then from the same thing it says, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Abiezer as well was affected by the Spirit of God. God took control of Gideon and caused him to sound the war call. This man blowing the trumpet, calling Israel to war, is not that same man back in the early parts of Judges 6. That man, in the earlier part of Judges 6, he was a defeated man. He was disillusioned. He was discouraged. He was filled with doubt. This man, this Gideon here, he's decisive. He's daring. He's defiant and determined. These are the things. God has been working in him. Now, he's not going to be like this all the time. There are times that this same man would take a step or two back. And that, in various ways, that's the Christian life. It's a battle. And there are times that we lose heart. There are times that we become discouraged. There are times that our hearts fail us and we have little faith. Even though in the past, maybe we have had great vision for different things. Something yet has happened to Gideon, and that something is the power of the Spirit of God. Gideon has a personal encounter with God. And that's so important. A personal experience of God. He's met the Lord. The Lord has met with him, and the Lord has covered him by his Spirit. And so he made a decisive commitment to obey the Lord earlier on. Now he has come under the control of the Spirit of God. You see a progression here. There is a progress in the walking with God. And when those things take place in a person's life, that person will not be the same. There is growth. That's what we want to see in a Christian's life. There's progress. So a person is converted. Those early steps, full of joy, full of strength, full of blessing. And then there may go through times of trial and temptation and discouragements and distractions even. But if you are the Lord will continue to work in you. And what you should desire is that I want to grow. I want to make progress. I don't want to be the Gideon that I was. I want to go and be able to encourage others as well in the battle against the things, the enemies of God. And the way you do that is personal, step-by-step obedience in the small things and then in the greater things. And the Lord will bless you by His Spirit. That's what we see here. If we want power to serve the Lord, that power can't come in the flesh. You quickly lose heart. You quickly dry up. If you spend and do the things in just your own strength, your own wisdom, if I just another week try harder, that kind of a thing. If it is only that, you will easily be discouraged. But you think about it. Who are you in your person? Your body is even a temple, the scripture says. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 19, the apostle says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How humbling that is. And then in chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The apostle seems to repeat himself there. And Paul puts it in a question form, because it seems that God's people forget who is on their side, who they have, what a privileged position we are. He says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and verses 21 and 22, In whom are all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. It's by the Spirit that you are being builded together. So we are to yield the control of our lives to God's will. And friends, here we see that the Spirit's empowering for service. And He does the same in these days. There's a battle going on. Battle for souls. Battle against the church. Battle against your own life. Battle in our society, in our community. Battle in this nation. Things that have been taken away from us. Satan comes again and again throughout the year. Taking of the crop, taking of the blessings. There are people who are using the blessings that has been wrought through the shedding of much blood in this country for our freedoms. They're using that against God. And passing laws, using the benefits of the Christian faith against Christians and against the gospel. This is what we see again and again. What should we do? We need that blessing of the Spirit. And we need to be ready to be of service to the Lord. We need that empowerment from the Lord. We are not wrestling with fleshly things, with worldly things. We are wrestling with spiritual enemies. And friends, it is in these times that yes, we need that empowerment from above. But remember, the Spirit of God may be grieved. The power and the blessing and the infilling may be gone if we are not giving ourselves to the Lord, if we are not living a life of holiness. The Holy Spirit makes a man holy. The Holy Spirit anoints people also in special tasks. Here is an example. Yes, we seek the Lord's blessing day by day. We seek the Lord's strength and power and wisdom day by day. But remember, there are certain times that God blesses us for a special task, and we may face those challenges and we think, how can I manage this? And yet you experience it, and you experience God's blessing and answers to prayer, and then you realize God blessed you specially. And yet the scripture speaks about the Spirit's at least felt presence leaving. In Samson's case, we read this in Judges 16 and verse 20. We'll see that in future times. But we read this, and she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He did not know that the Lord had left him. The Spirit's blessing had left him. The Spirit's presence had left him. When a person, or when the Spirit moves on a person, they are given special strength and courage to accomplish the things that God has planned, to do what the Lord wants them to do. And it was then, and it is even more so now, because the Holy Spirit has been given in a special way since the time of Pentecost to the church. And the Lord said that He will send a Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And He doesn't just anoint us for a special task, but the anointing is to be with us every day of our lives. And we may say even that the Holy Spirit doesn't depart from a person, but He takes up permanent residence in our hearts. But He may be grieved. His presence is guaranteed, because His presence guarantees our eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Spirit of God is in control of our lives, we are changed inwardly first. It's the fruit of the Spirit is developed and being seen in our lives. That's what we need to seek after. That's what you must see in your life. The progress of love and peace and joy and temperance and long-suffering and all of those things should be seen to be growing. You're not trying to work those things up in you, but to see that the Spirit is working in you. You're keep changing. And all of those things manifest themselves outwardly. So here is Gideon in the time that we have spent on these verses. We see the enemies. So many. They didn't come to destroy Gideon. They come to take the crops. They come to ransack the place. But, it says, but against this, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon, clothes him, covers him. He is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And he blows a trumpet. He calls others to action. He encourages others. In this place, we don't see fear. We see the strength and the... Here is a brave man, courageous man. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He removes fear from us. The Lord has not given us the spirit of fear. And so, my friends, one of the ways that we can call upon God to bless us by the power of His Spirit is when we come to pray. And that's what we are here about. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's power. We need the Lord's anointing. And we cannot stir these things up in ourselves. We cannot stir ourselves to have an attitude of prayer and to pray in a powerful way. God has to do that work. We can raise our voices. We can be articulate in our words. But if the Lord is not blessing it, then it is all done in the strength of the flesh. We can preach. We can try to influence other people. We can be working very hard, doing this and that and the other thing, doing this meeting and that meeting, being involved with all kinds of things. But if the Lord is not blessing it, then what is happening? Far more would be accomplished when the Spirit of God is at work and taking control of us. And that's why we come to pray. This is a message for us. Where does it find you? Where does it find you? Are you in the right place, a good place in your life? Are you in the place of blessing from the Lord? Well, all of us, we can say, we are in the place of need in some ways. We need the Lord to bless us. We need the Lord to clothe us and cover us by His Spirit, that we might be in full control of the Spirit of God, to know His will, to not to be full of fear, not to be disillusioned, not to be discouraged, but to have that same vision and the same mind and will. Well, may the Lord help us to learn something from Gideon and be encouraged that if the Lord is with you, you can also be a blessing to God.
to others. Let us briefly pray. Lord, we give thee thanks for thy word. We thank thee for its challenge and encouragements. We thank thee, Lord, for blessing us with these accounts of those saints of the past and how that is used them. And Lord, we see something of ourselves in them. And this encourages us because man hasn't changed. And more than that, thou hast not changed. And we thank thee, Lord, for this. We pray that thou wouldst then bless us as a congregation and cover us by thy Spirit and make use of us for thy glory. Even now tonight, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.